deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lying deep inside your subconscious, it's time for a big, scary show.
Hi, this is Shane Kennedy from Calsa Manor Haunted House in Roseville, California, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Sheena from Demon Dreams in Fairfield, California, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, everyone. This is Joel Watson from Heartstoppers Haunted House in Sacramento, California, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Robert Santos from Necrotic Creations in Campbell, California, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Nicole from Face Off Season 3, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Jeremy from The Slaughterhouse in Reno, Nevada, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Monster Matt from Rock Rebel, where we make all your Universal Monsters clothing, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
Oh, man. Less than 3 weeks till MHC. God, I hate packing. I don't know what to bring. I gotta bring stuff for the booth, and bring stuff for the table, and bring stuff for myself. What the hell am I gonna wear for a costume at the costume ball? I mean, how many times can I put this stupid hot marker thing? Good grief. I don't even have a costume. Oh well. I could always dress up as Tater. That'll scare the shit out of everybody. Man, I swear, Badger and Jim must have a suitcase packed year-round for these conventions, and I'll use them for them. I mean, I have smelled both guys, and seriously, I really think they'd have to wash any of it afterwards. Well, on this episode of The Big Scary Show, Badger survives the nightmare trip to Reno, Nevada, surviving American Airlines and every other airline in between just trying to get there. Blown door gaskets and everything. Airport food. And yes, snow. And he'll be talking to several people at the HauntX convention, as well as Twerking Pickle, plus Noel from Face Off Season 3, and a few of the vendors also. The Unknown Scare Actor will continue talking about why people go to haunts to get scared. And Storm? Well, we don't even know what the hell he's going to rant about. So, you've been warned. And I'll be digging into the music vaults and pulling out some cool tunes for you to listen to help you get you in the mood for a Midwest Haunters Convention. All this, and more, only on
The Big Scary Show.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here with a quick disclaimer. Contrary to the intro, I did not have a nightmare trip at HauntX. I had a great time at HauntX, and I highly recommend everybody go to HauntX in Reno, Nevada next year. Specifically, I had a nightmare traveling. The combination of two planes having mechanical issues, delays, sitting on the tarmac, bad airport food, lots of turbulence, and lost and damaged luggage means I had a nightmare trip. Don't wish that on anybody, but I do wish you would all go to HauntX in Reno, Nevada in 2015. HauntX.com. Glad to clear that up. on with the show.
You want a big show with top vendors, useful education, a kick-ass haunt tour, and one hell of a party. The National Haunters Convention at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. Go to nationalhauntersconvention.com. It's not just big, it's national. May 2nd through 4th. For tickets and information, go to nationalhauntersconvention.com.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here live at Haunt X in beautiful Reno, Nevada, the biggest little city in the world. We are chatting with vendors and all that cool stuff, and these guys are across from me. I'm seeing skulls rotating with lots of electronic kind of controller type stuff with it. It's haunthackers.com. I've got Hallstaff, the owner there. How you doing today?
I'm doing real well. How are you?
Good. Tell it, what is Haunt Hackers and all this, all these crazy glowing, moving, jumping around kind of neat stuff?
Well, it's a couple of do-it-yourself home haunters that we design and build our and program our boards to run all the animatronics in our haunt. They're all boards that you solder up yourself, and in an effort to be able to, for those of us that like to hack and like to build things, to maybe do it on a budget and be able to stretch our haunt dollars out.
So it's not necessarily fully completed stuff that you would just pop into an animatronic. It's kits that you would basically assemble yourself and make it work for you, for your particular prop and stuff.
Absolutely. It's just a bare board. You do the soldering. You order the parts. You do the soldering. It requires a little bit of extra time, a little bit of expertise. But again, it's another option, not to be confused with the already built controllers that some of the other guys put out. You know, Effectex and Fright Props make awesome.
Yes, they do.
Controllers.
They're great guys.
Already built. And if that's your thing, go with that. But this is just for the home haunter or the professional that has the time and the interest and wants to do some of their own controllers and build them up.
And home haunters are kind of known for their tinkering in and of itself, making the best out of what they have and stuff. So this is really kind of something, if you like to just kind of mess with stuff in your garage and all that, this is kind of perfect for them.
Absolutely, and it's a way to stretch your dollars. A lot of home haunters have more time than money, and it's certainly a way to put that time to use and be able to save a little bit of the money and still get the same results that you can get from some of the other controllers.
For people wanting more information on some of this DIY stuff and maybe where they can order kits or see some of this stuff in action, how can they get more information?
They can check out my website, hallstaff.com. Or visit my YouTube page. Also, I go by Hallstaff on the YouTube page.
Spelled?
HallStaff.com.
Excellent. So Hallstaff.com. You can check out all this cool stuff. Haunt Hackers, it's a great pleasure having you here at HauntCon. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out.
Black Cat Attack. Black Cat. Lonely Horror Stories. On the Big Scary
on
Show.
The Big Scary Show.
Remember the pain, except your face. Tonight your soul will be mine, and I'm gonna take you live, and I'll do it in the daytime. I don't know mercy, I only know rage. Seeing you burn will be my gain. I'm gonna make you hurt, and when I'm finished with you, I'll put you down in the dirt. Come in, if you check, take my hands up on the hill. You might not make it out of- good lonely night for me. Tell me about the devil to neglect your soul. I love it so much and I'm always wanting more. I love the hurt, I love the kill, I love the gore. This is a lonely horror story tonight. Here we go.
Deadline News is proudly sponsored by the National Haunters Convention, happening May 2nd through the 4th, 2014, at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, Pennsylvania. Visit HalloweenShow.com for more information. Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start off with some sad news from the world of movies and art. Swiss artist H.R. Giger, who designed the creature in Ridley Scott's sci-fi horror classic Alien, has died at age 74 from injuries suffered in a fall. Sandra Mevelaz, administrator of the H.R. Giger Museum in Gruyères, Western Switzerland, told the Associated Press that Giger died in a hospital last Monday. Giger's works, often showing macabre scenes of humans and machines fused into hellish hybrids, influenced a generation of movie directors and inspired an enduring fashion for biomechanical tattoos. My paintings seem to make the strongest impression on people who are, well, who are crazy, Giger said in a 1979 interview with Starlog magazine. If they like my work, they are creative, or they are crazy. The Big Scary Show wishes to extend its condolences to the friends, family, and fans of H.R. Giger, and offers up this moment of silence. We have a pair of stories from our very own haunt rocker, Jerry Vane. The Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane has announced his new CD, Bodies in the Bayou, is now available for pre-sale on his Facebook page. My new CD, Bodies in the Bayou, is now available for pre-sale at the iTunes Store for $9.99. And when you pre-order, you will get an automatic MP3 download of the track Voodoo Doll. The physical CD will be released on June 7th and will only be available at the Midwest Haunters Convention. These will not be selling their A's anywhere else, so grab your copy while supplies last. The digital download will be available on iTunes, Amazon MP3, CD Baby, and all digital retail sites, as well as at jerryvane.com on that same day. Also in related news, since 2009, Jerry Vane has allowed for any and all haunts or haunt vendors to use his music in their videos, but recently he sent this out. Quote, if you are using my music in your YouTube videos, I was notified that apparently any videos using my music are being red flagged by CDBaby.com as, quote, using illegal copywritten material, unquote, and the videos have been locked down. Apparently this is a new thing they have started doing over the last few weeks. My music is sold on CD Baby and outsourced to other companies like iTunes, Amazon MP3, Spotify, etc. They recently have started monitoring any of their artists whose music is being used without the artist's consent on YouTube. This is a brand new policy. I have always given the haunt community my approval in using my music as long as copyright info is posted. Well, because of this new policy, that apparently means nothing now to them, even if I have given consent personally. I want everyone to please continue using my music, but for now, to those who use my music, I need you to please message or email me your YouTube channel link or individual video link so I can submit a list to them to get you on the white list so you could still continue using my music and will not affect your videos. Sorry if it's a pain in the ass, but it's out of my control. Sincerely, Jerry Vane. You can contact Jerry Vane through his website, jerryvane.com, or visit his Facebook page. We have some more Canadian news from the Thornhill Woods Haunted Attraction in Thornhill, Ontario, Canada, via Facebook. I'm proud to announce that the Thornhill Woods Haunted House, for a second year in a row, will be raising funds this Halloween for Amaya Lobo, who is in desperate need of a heart transplant. Amaya has hypoplastic left heart syndrome. She was born with only 3 out of 4 chambers and is missing a left ventricle. As of now, she's been on the transplant wait list for over 2 years. We've set up an online donation page through Sick Kids Foundation. Since 2004, we have raised over $26,000. Please help us achieve our goal this year by spreading the word. We welcome corporate sponsorship and any donation you can spare. We scare because we care. To get more information or to donate in advance, visit www.thornhillwoodshauntedhouse.com and click on the Sick Kids link. We have some news from Dan's Haunted House in Dallas, Texas. Quote, "We will not blow smoke up your butt with some lame backstory about how we are on haunted land, blah, blah, blah. We don't have a 6-acre outdoor maze in the woods. The woods alone will scare the beep out of you. We do not have clowns. You can find clowns, zombies, and the stereotypical chainsaw guy in every other haunted house, so why the beep should we try and be like everyone else? If you want to experience true fear, fear of the unknown, alone in the dark of the woods, with entities you have never seen before, then there is only one haunt that you need to experience. Dan's Haunted House." Unquote. Now that is a great marketing campaign. For more information, visit www.danshauntedhouse.com. We have this news from Hector Turner. Okay, people, this is it. Photo submissions are now being accepted for the 2015 Halloween Haunt Calendar. This will be our 7th year for the Haunt Calendar, and it promises to be the best one yet. Make sure you don't miss out on being a part of this incredible showcase of haunts from all across the United States, Canada, and international. Full info and photo submission guidelines are available on the website, www.HalloweenHauntCalendar.com. We have this from the Torment at 1200 Haunted Attraction in Orion, Illinois. The Torment Veteran Haunt Acting Team is announcing their first official training seminar for the 2014 season. Volunteers must be dedicated, loyal, 18 years or older, and willing to torment the masses. Please PM us via Facebook for dates, times, and information. You can visit them at facebook.com/torment@1200. That's all one word, no numbers. Torment at 1200. We have this from Scare LA. Scare LA, the first ever Southern California Halloween convention, has announced it will return to downtown Los Angeles on August 9th and 10th, 2014, at The Reef, formerly known as LA Mart. The event celebrates the West Coast Halloween haunt and horror community and fans with exclusive presentations, industry panels, hands-on workshops, on-site attractions, and an exhibitor show floor designed to inspire and promote play. Limited time pre-sale tickets are now available for purchase on the convention's website, offering a 30% savings for early birds with the code PRESCARE. The convention's 2014 program will feature sneak previews and behind-the-scenes looks at the most anticipated Halloween events in the region. Confirmed participants include Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, Knott's Halloween Haunt, Los Angeles Haunted Hayride, The Great Horror Campout, The Queen Mary's Dark Harbor, and over 30 of the top scare attractions in the Southwest. If you're in the Halloween industry, Scare LA is a must. It's the only convention of its kind that allows us to touch our fans, interact with our colleagues, and expand our networks in this market, and it's a ton of fun. For more information, visit www.scarela.com. We have this from Days of the Dead. Days of the Dead has made quite a splash in the horror convention scene since its first show in July of 2011. In just 3 years, the event most known for its by the fans, for the fans aesthetic has grown to 4 yearly shows in 4 of the country's most desirable markets, Atlanta, Indianapolis, Chicago, and Los Angeles. But now, Days of the Dead founders Adolfo Dorda, Bill Philput, and Rick Lara have announced a fifth show for 2015, one that takes a significant departure from what they have become known for across the country. That show is called Culture Shock. All of us with Days of the Dead are big pop culture and comic book fans as well, and we grew up going to the old school comic and sci-fi conventions of 20 years ago, says Adolfo Dorda. But the shows nowadays are nothing like those were. The Comic-Con style show has become way overpriced and over-corporatized. It is no longer something that's very accessible for the average fan. The thought of putting on a Comic-Con show in the vein of those that inspired us as kids to go on and do what we do now was an idea we couldn't pass up. Promising to act as a departure from the often repeated formula of today's pop culture shows, Culture Shock will gear its focus toward putting together a guest roster of celebrities not often seen at other pop culture shows, as well as hosting events that imitate the same weekend-long party atmosphere fans of Days of the Dead had known to come and love. Every other pop culture show has the same dozen or so Flavor of the Month celebrities. What happened to the presence of classic Star Wars, or Golden and Silver Age comic book creators, or people who worked on our favorite cartoons and films from the 70s and 80s? As much as we all enjoy much of the new stuff, there's so much great stuff that came before it that is no longer being highlighted the way it should be. We want to make Culture Shock the kind of show where you would see current Doctor Who celebrities next to an Empire Strikes Back reunion. It all deserves to be celebrated in equal measure. It will be to pop culture what Days of the Dead is to horror, says Adolfo Dorda. Culture Shock is scheduled to invade the Wyndham Indianapolis West on February 27th through March 1st, 2015. The website and initial guest announcements are coming soon. But for now, you can follow Culture Shock on Facebook at facebook.com/cultureshockcon. For info on Days of the Dead, visit daysofthedead.net. And finally, we have this toy news from Sharknado. Sharks plus tornadoes? That equals terror in the sky. But sharks plus tornadoes plus pop vinyl equals lots of fun with a Sharknado pop vinyl figure. Sharknado, of course, is the cheesy sci-fi movie that everybody loves to love. Guilty pleasure? Forget about that, because it's cool and trendy to like Sharknado, which is why you need this 3¾-inch shark-filled tornado on your desk. Unleash nature's fury with the combined might of these two often awesome engines of destruction, which happen to look pretty darn cute when given the Funko treatment. The Sharknado pop vinyl figure will be available in June 2014, but it can be pre-ordered now for only $9.99 at www.entertainmentearth.com. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here live, Haunt X, Reno, Nevada, where we're talking to all the cool kids. And, you know, the best cool kids dressed this season always wear Universal Monsters and all that good stuff as far as T-shirts and all. You know, it's a... You know, it's not necessarily a haunt fashion sense, but in a way it is. Everybody loves Universal horror monsters, Hammer films, all that good stuff. And, of course, you can't have too many black T-shirts. I have 261 and counting. And luckily the guy next to me has a wide assortment of them, and I may have to do a little bit of shopping here in a little bit. I got Monster Matt here from Rock Rebel. What's going on, Monster Matt?
Oh, not too much, man. Just here at HauntX trying to enjoy myself and trying to, you know, enjoy HauntX, see all the different people, all the cool little props and all the makeup effects, and just having a good time being within my element.
Excellent. And, of course, you got a cool rack here of shirts. You got some other things, handbags, accessories and all. Everybody likes the black T-shirts with the monsters on them, but you always run into those counterfeiters and those cheap knockoffs and all that stuff. Why are you different?
Well, you know what? I actually started with Rock Rebel probably about 9 years ago or so. We weren't that much of a company where we did a lot of licensing stuff. We actually did a regular alternative kind of fashion line. But at the time when I started with the company, my boss, John, had the Star Wars license. So we did make Star Wars bags and Star Wars belt buckles and accessories and stuff like that. seeing the success of licensed stuff and me being a monster kid and my boss being a huge monster fan just like me, we noticed that there's an underground revival in a lot of the Universal Monster stuff, in punk rock music and rockabilly culture. It all kind of goes hand in hand.
Absolutely.
And we saw a lot of the other lines making things like that. Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein stuff, Dracula, not the actual monsters themselves, but, a guy that looks like Frankenstein or somebody that's dressed up like Dracula. And, with my boss John's past experience dealing with licensing and stuff, we went after the Universal Monsters license. It was something that my boss could afford. He brought it to my attention. I'm like, John, why would we not want to buy a license and do stuff legitimately where we're not having to look over our shoulders and actually make stuff that's from our heart and design hip modern stuff for your average horror fan like we are? And I'll tell you what, man, it's snowballed ever since. We started doing t-shirts. We do handbags now, belt buckles, belts. We do girls' wallets, men's wallets, beanies, trucker hats, hoodies, flannel shirts. We're expanding every season. We're introducing more and more. And it's cool because Universal's real excited with the job that we're doing. Every time we renew our license, they show us a new list of all this spooky kind of licenses that have become available.
Nice.
And because they like what we're doing so much, they're like, you guys are doing such a great job. Would you like to add these to your contract? And just this past season, when we renewed our contract about 2 or 3 months ago, they offered us, which we got now, we took Jaws, Seed of Chucky, Shaun of the Dead, Young Frankenstein, Funhouse, and Halloween 2 and 3 as well.
Nice.
And those have been doing really great for us because all the 80s horror stuff is just cranking right now. It's going off.
Absolutely. It's kind of that new wave of horror. Everybody remembers the slasher stuff fondly, either from their youth or their parents are introducing it to them now. So if you can go out, not only pick up a Dracula shirt, but you can also get a Michael Myers shirt or a Bride of Chucky or a They Live, Obey type shirt and all that cool stuff.
Yeah, and it's nice. And don't get me wrong, I'm one of the guys, too, that for years going to conventions, some of the bootleg stuff is some of the coolest stuff. But I'll tell you what, though, if you're really about those monsters, having the license officially, it is down the line benefiting what you fell in love with to begin
with.
We have a license with Universal Monsters, but then we also deal directly with the Chaney family and the Lugosi family too. So if we sell a Dracula shirt, the Lugosi estate is getting their percentage, and it's all legit. We're not having to hide anything. And it's nice to know that it's being taken care of. You don't think that it works that way, but it does kind of have a trickle-down effect. The right properties are getting the right acknowledgement for us, getting that image to do what we want with the T-shirt.
Absolutely. And so long, a lot of these people have been neglected, about the early 50s rock and rollers who got screwed by the record companies.
So
and
true.
And it's nice to know that these guys are actually getting what they do and the royalties that they deserve. For people interested, maybe looking through catalog or selections or what new stuff you've got coming out, what's the website? Where can people get a hold of you?
You could check us out. We have a full online store at www.rockrebelshop.com. Just make sure that you're putting shop at the end. www.rockrebelshop.com. And you could also see, guys, chances are any horror convention or Haunt X or anything of the like, even at Comic Cons and stuff like that, you're either going to see me selling our stuff with the Rock Rebel booth or you're going to see other vendors that we sell to. So you could find us at any horror convention. And if you want to just go right to the source, go to rockrebelshop.com.
Absolutely. Support these great Universal Monsters and the next wave and everything because the families can help with it, and plus the shirts are just cool as hell. Once again, Drew Badger here live at Haunt X, and we are out.
Cheers, man.
The eyes of the haunt world turn towards the Greater Columbus Convention Center in beautiful Columbus, Ohio, as the Midwest Haunters Convention returns for its 11th year, June 6th through the 8th, 2014. MHC provides the best in educational seminars, workshops, tours, and networking opportunities second to none. Exciting contests, vendors, and of course, the best masquerade ball in the industry. And don't forget to sign up for the pre-show tour. For everything you need to know about MHC 2014, visit MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth. This is the Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so, When you think of Halloween, you also have to think of the area and what things are going on and haunt in October. And, you know, each city has its own appeal. Each area has its own little twist to Halloween. Except for Montreal. Montreal sucks. I'm talking about Metro Montreal, so anybody who's offended there, you know, write me something or do something about it. But, you know, I've been to Montreal. It sucks. Absolutely. It's Europe and North America. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. You think of Halloween, Montreal is not on the list. Not at all. Any of you want to... Hey, let's go to Montreal for Halloween. No. And you know why? Because they have junk stuff. The Pierre Dupont. You know, 10 40-foot containers with, you know, claustrophobia and things in it. This is all from the 2013 Montreal Halloween adventures and stuff. You know, Fright Fest at A La Ronde. A La Ronde morphs into a truly scary venue with its different activity zones. Your haunt does not have activity zones! Montreal has activity zones in the haunt. They need to up their game, and honestly, don't care. Bend to the city, they're... have no life to it, and the last Olympics they had 40 years ago was all they ever accomplished and all they're ever going to do. But this means don't become the Montreal. Yes, you have to make sure that your area, your culture, your town, your city has to embrace Halloween and the haunts and stuff, and your haunt attraction can help do that. So make sure you're up in your game for this October. Don't be Montreal! So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here live once again at HauntX in beautiful Reno, Nevada at the casinos, hanging out with all the cool people. And, of course, you can't really have a haunt convention these days without having a few celebrities, especially in the world of makeup and things such as, oh, look, it just happens to be Nicole, winner of Season 3 of Face Off. You know, we have lots of Face Off people before, RJ, Roy, Eric, Heather Henry, lots of people from Face Off. Never had Nicole on before. Nicole, how are you doing?
I am awesome.
I've seen you spend several, looked like hours working on this zombie creature that's wandering around here. Fantastic job, as always.
Thank you very much. I wanted to go a little over the top on this one, so he's pretty rotted away and going bald, and I love it.
how long did it take to do that one?
We started at 11, ended about 2:30, so, yeah, you know,
a couple hours.
Not that bad. Especially I had to, you know, lay all the hair on his head.
So that's not wigs or anything. That's actual individually laid out.
Yeah, it's hand laid.
Very nice. Yeah. Since the end of Season 3, what have you been up to besides, you know, the prize of speaking and doing all that stuff? What has been going on in the life of Nicole?
I opened up my own shop, Vicious Vanity Effects. And that's like my makeup studio where I work, and I have some interns. I've been doing a lot of films, a lot of photo shoots, conventions. It seems like every time I think that I'm going to have like a few days off, then something gets scheduled. So I've been like running around doing everything all the time, just staying really busy. So
excellent. So that's Vicious great. Vanity, is it a brick and mortar place itself, and if so, where's it located?
Vicious Vanity Effects is my studio, my warehouse where I work out of. It's not really like a store or anything like that, but I do have clients that come there and meet me, especially for like live casting and things like that for films. But Mostly it's just kind of my private shop where I work.
So where is that located?
It's in Roseville, California.
Okay, very cool. And you're doing the con appearance like this. You're here, and I assume you'll be attending a few more in the next, 3 to 6 months. Where will you be so your fans can come by and meet and say hi and take pictures and all?
I think I don't even know the names of my I'd have to ask my agent. I don't even know. I don't know my schedule. They just tell me to go places, and then I go there. I'm so bad at keeping track of things, so I probably suck for that. But if I ever do anything, it's always posted on my social medias. I have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. But
so what would those sites be?
Those sites would be. It's my hashtag is at Nicole _ Chilelli, and I don't know. I'm going to be doing a really big project that I'm actually leaving in 2 days that I'm not allowed to talk about,
but we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a big
This will
project.
Probably air after 2 days from now.
So. Yeah, well, yeah. So it's I'll be gone for a couple weeks, and I'm just I got to drive home and pack and then get on a plane and go. And, so that's coming soon. Just keep your eyes out because there's big stuff.
So basically, if you go look for Nicole Chilelli on the various social media sites, we can find out your schedule and all that good stuff, right?
Absolutely, yes, yes. And I'm going to have calendars and stuff posted on my website too.
Very, very nice, Nicole. An absolute pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show. Good luck with all the good stuff at HauntX. Hope the convention was good for you, and we look forward to seeing you at some point in the future, either attending at a convention, your name in the credits on the various movies and TVs and things like that, because that's always a good thing.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you once again. Once again, Drew Badger here live at the Big Scary Show, HauntX, Reno, Nevada, and we are out. Hello, everybody. It is, of course, that time of the show that we like to call the Round Table of Terror. Now, there's a whole big difference, I guess, between living the Halloween lifestyle and being a casual fan. Everybody's got black t-shirts. Everybody walks around listening to death metal, I'm sure, or goth music and stuff. But, there is that type of person out there that just really lives the Halloween lifestyle. You might call them an extreme fan. You might call them something else. We'll get into that. But we put the call out, and we wanted to find some people who really lived the Halloween lifestyle. This show is based on our love of Halloween, haunted houses, horror, and the like. And you all know that one guy or that one girl that basically lives that life all the time, year round. So we kind of wanted to find out what it's like to do that. We put the call out, found a few people who were interested in talking with us that weren't just wallowing around in misery and listening to Sisters of Mercy. So,
or Radio Disney.
Or Radio Disney, depending on how you go.
That's a choice. Yes.
But we got some folks on the line here. We'll start off way up in the great far north with Kyla C., who I believe is in New Brunswick, Canada. Kyla, are you with us?
I am.
Great to have you on here. I understand there's still snow on the ground.
Yes, there's a bit.
We love Canada. down somewhere where there is absolutely no snow, down in Lakeland, Florida, Daniel Dupke. Are you there, Daniel?
I am. Hello.
Great to have you on the show. The one and only Damien Reaper. Everybody who's ever been to the Dent Schoolhouse in the last few years has probably seen Damien lurking around. Damien, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Absolutely. Great to have you there in Cincinnati. And down in Plano, Texas, Ed Gannon, no stranger to the haunt industry, is known for very many things and is working with Dark Hour Haunted House, I believe, down there. Ed, are you
with us? That's correct. Yes, thank you.
Glad to have you here, as well as our normal motley crew of hosts, including Storm.
Greetings from New England, where we finally have spring!
What's that?
Yay.
The unknown scare actor.
Hey, I wore shorts this weekend.
Oh, God. You are the scariest one on the panel. The Haunster medalist Jerry Vane way out in the desert southwest.
It's 102 degrees and 45-mile-an-hour winds.
Fabulous.
Ding, ding, I win.
My name is Drew Badger. I'm in Charlotte. It was a brisk 75 degrees and sunny, and I just worked on my tan all day. So anyway.
Nice. And you're still pasty white.
Yes, I am. So thank you, guests, for being on the show, talking extreme Halloween fans. I will throw the first question out to no one in particular, so don't all jump in at once. What made you guys decide one day to wake up and say, I'm going to live the Halloween lifestyle all the time?
Don't all jump in at once.
Well, since you're started, Daniel, why don't you lead us off there?
Yeah, I guess it was more gradual, I guess, because I've always liked Halloween and then been in the horror movies and that kind of thing. And in 2008, my brother came to me and wanted to do a haunted house. We wanted to build one in his backyard, and we did a whole big thing, and it was the first one we'd ever done. And we didn't know there were other people like this, you know. And we just really got into it, and the neighbors were asking for it the next year, and that's kind of where it began to progress with me.
Were you that guy in school?
I was probably some guy, but I wasn't that guy. Just another weird kid in school, yeah.
How about you, Ed? You've been in this business a while.
Yes.
Tog, the other guy. Yeah, I guess it was more gradual for me, too. When I was a kid, you know, loved anything to do with monsters and, you know, design modules for Dungeons & Dragons, whatever, geek alert. But I had a lot of social things, too, and that's all well and good. And then I got into special effects makeup. And I didn't know you could do it for a living. So a haunted house opened up with Rich Hanf, and it was his first haunt as well. And I partnered up with him, and we started doing the Haunted Castle in Hamburg, New Jersey. That was back in 92, I believe. And, you know, we did it for that October, and it progressed from there. And then in 96, Spooky World was going to redo their entire thing. They were America's Horror Theme Park up in Berlin, Massachusetts. And so they had hired Rich, who brought me in as well, and they were going to redo their entire hayride and do two new haunted houses, and with a three total. And you know, they were the biggest standalone haunted attraction at the time. So we were up there, and then from then on, I quit my job and was up with them most of the year, and kind of never went back. We got some part-time jobs in between, and then it was, for the next 10 years, it was full-time Halloween year-round, and that was pretty miraculous.
And you've been doing it over 20 years now.
Close to 30, yeah.
Close to 30, wow. So you're not just some new person to this industry. You know, your name has been associated around for a long, long time.
Long time, pretty much every aspect.
Cool. Kyla, how about you?
I guess it was kind of gradual after a while, but what ended up happening was I got very tired of seeing people have a lot of Christmas stuff up a lot of the time. So what I ended up doing was just decorating for Halloween all the time. Like, for right now, I have up my Halloween tree out in the living room that's always lit up with my skulls. My car has a dressed-up Batman or other character in the back seat at all times.
Oh, how cool!
It's nothing to see me go to work with my fangs in the middle of February just because I feel like it. And my house always has mummy eyes looking out at you from most of the windows.
Nice. I like that. That's more hardcore than me and my black t-shirt. Wow. Damien, I don't think I've ever seen you not sort of in character at one point or another. How did you get started in this?
Oh, Lordy. Well, I'll start off with saying that my dad is a horror Halloween junkie and my mom is a heavy metal chick. So it started off with those two kind of teaching me through the years, and starting off for Dungeon of Delhi in 1998, and then going to the Dent School House in 2006, 2007, and progressing to join up in a traveling acting thing called Mall. So all through those years, I took my childhood of being a fan of Kiss, Alice Cooper, and Undertaker, and made it into a character called Damien Reaper, and it just progressed through those years.
I can definitely see the Undertaker influence in that. Yes. I believe I saw you. I think I saw you first in like 2008 at Dent, and of course you had a big shovel out in the garden and all that. So yeah, absolutely, I can see that. So that's really cool, gentlemen. I open the floor to questions.
Okay, a question for everybody, and what I'll do is I'll just throw out the question and I'll ask a particular name so not everybody jumps in. But what basically entails a typical day for some of you? And we're going to start, since I'm kind of intrigued by Kyla's choice of decorations. So let's start with her.
Well, first it's Starbucks, and then she goes to...
No, up here it's Tim Hortons. You go there first. And
come
then
on,
usually
Jerry, it's
the
Canada.
They take a second glance, usually at my character that's dressed in the back seat and the bats that are hanging from my ceiling of my car. I go to work, and I change my block for my Halloween care cam that's up all year round. And usually I have on a pair of my Halloween socks, which are also year round. I have one for every day of the month. I come home and check out some new Spooky Town elements for the Lemax collection, make sure that mine are still okay after my four cats have probably been through my town. And then that's pretty much all it for my Halloween for that day, except for listening to my Halloween playlist at work. Or, of course, the podcast.
Okay. Good plug.
How about you, Ed?
Normally, I get up and get into my hearse, which is my daily driver for the last 5 years, except it just died before I came down here to Texas. So, and then I go to work making incredibly awesome, scary designs and machines that scare people, and set design and all that wonderful things, and working on some a redesign of an Axe-worthy mechanism now for Dark Hour. And so that's pretty cool. Pretty much every discipline you could think of, carpentry, electrical, electronics, welding, I mean, you name it, along, resins and plastics and all the fun stuff we like to dirty our clothes up with, which are usually black. And then while I'm doing that, I usually listen to what I, delightfully call Ed's Crappy Halloween Music, which is I have one of the largest selections of, I think Jerry might have heard some of it, one of the largest selections of Halloween genre and soundtrack music around. So, stuff from everything from the 30s and 40s all the way up to the 60s and 70s and Zachary Lee and all that wacky stuff.
Zachary Lee
and Murder Dolls and all that stuff. So, all kinds of fun stuff. And the popular stuff, too. But it's all different, so at least nobody gets too sick of it. And then if you don't like that song, a better one will come on, or a worse one, which we can all make fun of. And the day ends usually around the anywhere from the 8 to, 15-hour mark. And we go and get some horrible for-you food, or I'll cook something delicious and watch some kind of horror genre show and pass out and do it all again tomorrow. Unless, of course, we go out, and then it's, karaoke and fun ensues. But other than that, that's a pretty standard day.
How horrifying is the karaoke?
Actually, I like to think I'm pretty good, but depends where you go. Some of the people down here are pretty decent, actually, I have to say.
Nice.
How about you, Daniel?
Once I get up, I've got the house decorated pretty much year round too, kind of like Kyla. I have about a 7-foot shelf that's covered in props I make, which are just all bloody body parts and bones and feet and stuff. And there's, from where I'm sitting, I can see two torsos, four different skulls, some more feet and bones that have yet to be painted. Six UFO pictures on the wall behind me. And then I have a Krampus stocking from Christmas that just stays up year round.
Nice.
And a big hanging skeleton. I don't know. I think they're called creeper props, and he hangs in the doorway leading to the kitchen year round. I used to have him on when I lived in an apartment. It's kind of hard to do a haunt or anything in an apartment, but I would put him on the. I put him on the front door 1 year for Halloween, and just after a while, just being lazy, never took him down. So what I started doing was I named him Rufus, and I would decorate him. Decorate him for each each upcoming holiday. Like for Christmas, I put a Santa hat on him. St. Patrick's Day, he had a light up shamrock necklace. And what I gave him for Valentine's Day, he had a box of chocolates and a rose. So he was on my apartment, but now he's in the house. And I'm usually outside making props or working on something for either my Han or for the little Etsy store I have, and just making stuff like that. And obviously watch a lot of horror movies and Face Off and Jim Henson Show, that the new one. I like that. That's watch a lot cool. of stuff like that with my girlfriend, and just a weird guy.
I think Daniel just made it official that every haunt has a prop nicknamed Rufus.
Oh yeah.
We won't call Rumpus.
And let's wind up with Damien. How about you, Damien?
When I wake up, I usually groan because my back hurts.
Welcome to middle age.
I left that part out.
Yeah. I have all my haunted house stuff through the years. I got granny's panties right next to a a head that Tater made of Frankenstein right next to it. I have some newspaper clippings, stuff that I've done through the years, and a whole bunch of stuff. I got a beer bottle with the Big Scary Show, and right next to it is a Me as a Priest on an air beer bottle.
Those two things are unrelated, right?
Right.
Okay.
And usually I have two little chihuahuas that usually on the bed with me, so they're jumping all over my face, and and I go on Facebook, and I always had to talk something, you know, Damien related or haunted house related, or just complain, and I start either writing some type of story or some type of song lyrics, and or artwork. Everything is either Damien Reaper related or haunted house related. It has to be, because I've just been doing that for years, and go upstairs and find something to nibble on and go out with buddies, and we're always talking about horror or haunted house or sci-fi. I've been really into Doctor Who a lot lately, so basically I do that every single day, unless, you know, somebody invites me over to any type of meetings or some type, you know, everything all day long is haunted house related.
Okay.
Now, Daniel, what you said a moment ago intrigued me, where you said you'd put a Santa hat on some of your props and stuff like that. when other holidays come around, you guys put a Halloween spin on your stuff, like Christmas or, like you said, St. Patrick's Day or anything? Do you do a Halloween version of Valentine's Day or 4th of July or anything like that?
Yeah, we do actually our... Oh, I'm sorry. Were you asking me?
I'm asking all of you.
Oh, okay. You go ahead.
Go, Dan, go.
For our Christmas tree, we actually have a lot of Halloween horror type stuff on that. They got a couple axes, and there's skeletons that my girlfriend and I, she put little dresses and dressed them up and made them little characters there on the tree. And most of what aren't from dead relatives are just black ornaments or the skeletons and stuff like that. Other holidays don't really do too much for anyway, so. But the Christmas tree definitely gets mostly Halloweened up. And
I heard a couple of you agreeing with them. What about the rest of you?
I've been collecting ornaments like that, Hallmark or whatever, for a long time. They've got a lot of crossover serials that match our taste, you know, between Harry Potter and Star Wars and all that stuff. So, but I've got them from, you know, glass ornaments from Europe of the Phantom of the Opera and things like that. And I've got a big Halloween tree, and that's all well and good for Yule or whatever. And also on my hearse, I used to have a Black Widow on the top, and I would I'd put Santa hats on for Christmas and, you know, chili peppers for Cinco de Mayo. I mean, you name it. It was pretty funny. And, you know, so people thought I was an exterminator for a long time. They didn't know, really get it. But I had a magnetic sticker put on it because I do a lot of handyman work off season, or used to, and it was vampire maintenance because there just aren't enough hours in the day. And, had a cartoon vampire guy with a paint roller in one hand, a wrench in the other, and so people then they kind of understood. So that was pretty funny. But at Dark Hour, yeah, it is pretty funny. You know, people come out, get their pictures with it and stuff. And so at Dark Hour, though, we do basically 8 shows a year. A show every month for most holidays. So for we did Wreck the Halls for Yule with Krampuses, and then we did Love is Blind for Valentine's, and that was a blackout show. And then we did St. Patty's Sleigh Weekend, you know, for that one. And we just did Walpurgisnacht, which is you know, the first day of May. So that went over really well. That was a musical. And we're doing you know, a couple other different, you know, holidays that are coming down before we take a break and get ready to open it for September for our major show. But yeah, all the holidays have some kind of little twist to them. But, you know, my house isn't inundated with it because it's all in my head.
Damien, yeah, I can only imagine. Or go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Damien, I can only imagine how your Christmases and Easters and other things are.
Well, I mean, we don't really put up a tree anymore. You know, I don't think we've had a tree up for like 5 years, so we can't really. I think it's still sitting back in the shed. Because, you know, we have a pit bull that likes to run all around the place, and that's all we need.
Is
the tree knocking right through the window. But, you know, I mean, my Halloween stuff is up all the time in my room. I don't think I get into the Christmas spirit, but there has to be a twist with it. I'll wear my, you know, Damien Reaper outfit with the Santa Claus hat, you know, doing a video on YouTube. You know.
How about you, Kyla? What about you? What do you do for holidays?
That would be a large black Christmas tree, all done up with Nightmare Before Christmas stuff, along with some other gory items whatever I can find. Usually they're like done over earrings that I've found that were battle axes or swords or beheaded monsters and stuff. They're all up there. I don't really celebrate many other holidays, though. Just basically Christmas and Halloween.
There is only one holiday. The rest are just filler.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, at Christmas you can get presents for Halloween. So
yeah. You can always do Krampus.
Yeah, there is.
That is true.
That's when you get the
everything's always like decorated most of the year anyway. So that's it. Just covers all holidays. Halloween is just every day. Just Christmas happens to come in sometimes. That's about it.
Gotcha.
Well, speaking of that, with the decorations and everything, how expensive is it for you guys to keep a lifestyle like that?
Not too terribly expensive. Most of the stuff we buy comes from Home Depot, right? So.
Doesn't everything?
Yeah.
Do you have Home Depot in Canada?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
I can only imagine you hit the shops every November 1st or 2nd and take advantage of a year's worth of shopping.
Oh, yeah. Up here in Canadian Tire, you just go up and you just wipe them out. 75% off. You go up and you just take everything. Yep.
Wipe them out. Heard the Canadian there. It's pretty good. I like that.
How much is 75% off in metric?
Oh, you're funny. Dancing
that was
like
good.
That.
Yeah. That was good. Anyway,
coming from the leprechaun.
To answer your question, Jerry, on my end at least, you know, year round keeping into it. Most my work uniform is black Dickies shirt and pants with work boots. So most of the time I'm working doing Halloween stuff. So that end of it's pretty easy. When I go out, you know, I like dress up whatever, and that's easy too. As far as the other stuff goes, keeping the hearse up is the biggest expense because, you know, if you ever had one, they're always breaking down, and every one of them is built custom. So there's always something you got to do to it. But But other than that, yeah, other than that, you know, your significant other is my other biggest expense. But the Halloween stuff is pretty much in line, you know, because, again, I'm not one of these people. I literally live the lifestyle and live and breathe it, whatever, but I don't need to shove it down everyone's throat, so to speak. So my thing is, you know, yeah, in the back of my window right now, I've got a skull with glowing dark eyes, no big deal, you know, whatever. But, you know, it doesn't everyone. But and I make these skeleton hula dancers for my dashboard and whatever, and people love that. But other than that, the other stuff is mostly inside. It's mostly very tasteful Art Deco kind of stuff.
I do have some flashing eyes in the back window of my station wagon. So, you know, just flip the little button and they flash on and off. So it's nice driving around town at night. You always get a few looks.
Yeah, Damien? You get a few looks just everywhere you go, so.
Exactly.
Well, a lot of my stuff is just stuff that I accumulated through the years. If, you know, something new comes around, it's usually given to me, or only thing I try to get it, is a lot of makeup, because I always seem to run out. And you know, all my costumes are hung up ready to go at any time, so
I guess that's true for me too. Yeah, a lot of the stuff is all I would say it's work related, but you know, I guess it's Halloween, so it's a little crossover there. But yeah, things like keeping up my makeup kit in tip-top shape, and different things you need for costume, wear items, things like that. So I guess if you add that in, yeah, I guess things do get a little expensive.
I know Jerry panics every time his guy liner gets low.
I tend to go through perma blood pretty quickly.
When's the last time you saw me wear that? Seriously.
When was the last time I saw you? MHC costume
I didn't
ball.
Have it on at MHC.
Yeah, but it was costume ball. You can't count that.
You
I
were wearing.
I didn't have it on MHC because I had an iron.
Well, there you go.
I like the new dude, by the way, Jerry. Looking pretty good, dude.
Thank you. Well, anyway, back to the conversation about Drew's guyliner.
But anyway, we'll take this Jerry Vane love fest, take a quick break from that. Just to remind everybody, you are listening to the Round Table of Terror here on the Big Scary Show, talking extreme Halloween fans with Kyla, Daniel, Damien, and Ed, along with the four Gahos. We're going to take a quick break just to pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
CreepyCollection.com. The most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com. For all your gore and more.
And we're back to the Round Table of Terror, talking with some extreme Halloween fans living the lifestyle 24/7, 365 with Ed Gannon, Damien Reaper, Daniel Dupke, and Kyla C. from all over the U.S. and Canada, along with the four Gahosts. And we've just been having a lovely, lively discussion. And during the break, the question was asked, do any of you guys work at haunts? And I know the answer to a couple of them, but Ed, how about you? We know your story.
Yeah. So I've been doing professional haunting for almost 30 years now, you know, all over New England, Salem, Mass, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and now down in Texas, playing in Texas for a place called Dark Hour Haunted House, which is pretty much on the highest end of the scale you can get, technically and scenically. So it's definitely something you're going to be hearing of if you haven't already. So I'm very excited about that. Working with Alan Hopps up there, and we're kicking some haunt A, and I'm loving that.
You'll get a chance to plug it at the end of the podcast, Ed.
Sorry.
Blame him.
We just had a show last night, so it's kind of, you know, still on.
How about you, Daniel? How about any kind of haunt-related type work that you do?
Actually, no. I'm just. I guess I'm the only home haunter in here, other than my businesses that I won't plug yet. I guess I'm the only home haunter down here.
Damn.
Hey, we love home haunters. We've done roundtables on home haunting before, yeah. So great to have you guys out there because you're the ones that'll make that jump in a few years to the professional level, we hope.
I start. You could be the next Victor Berto.
There you go.
Good movie.
Damien, Damien, you've had a long storied haunt career. What have you been up to?
Well, at the moment, I'm with the group Mall, which is a traveling acting organization that, you know, if a haunted house needs a couple actors that specialize in different type of talents, they can get a hold of actually Jim, and we go out and tour, basically. In the past, I basically stayed at, you know, dungeons for Dungeon of Delhi for about 9 years, then the last 7 to 8 years with the Dent Schoolhouse. So this is just a new avenue for me. So I'm excited for it.
Sounds like fun. Kyla, any haunts up there near you in New Brunswick, or do you just frequent them or get a chance to, or what?
Well, this is the first year I've had a yard, so I do have plans, but cool. I haven't been able to actually hold one yet. But I do go to the ones that are local. The most local will probably be the big one at Moncton at the zoo. So that's about it, though.
What is
it's
that?
Not really like a big thing. It's where you walk through the zoo and then actors come out with different things. That's about it.
Oh, very nice. Is there is this an actual zoo then? It's not just called the zoo.
No, it's not just called the zoo.
Oh, okay.
It's an actual
so there are
zoo.
Actual lions, tigers, bears, oh my, and all that. Cool.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever heard of a haunted zoo before. That's kind of a neat concept.
They do one down here in Tampa.
Do they?
Yeah, it's more for
the Busch Gardens or.
No, it's at the Lowry Park Zoo.
Oh, okay.
It's called the Zoo Boo. It's more geared towards little kids, I think. But
so they don't have a man eating polar bear at that show.
Not on purpose.
Out here in Vegas, out here in Vegas, they call it the Mall.
Don't say with a name like Zoo Boo, it's probably not for adults.
Yeah, no.
Boo, B U O O, nothing else.
Oh, sure.
I know, ruin it for you. I'm sorry.
Cricket. Well, yeah, crickets.
We'll edit.
But actually, turn the conversation a little bit to the serious side, and where you guys probably have the most insight, and you know what, something that affects everyone in the haunted attraction industry at one point, and that's haunt burnout. How do you guys fight that off? You know, what have you come across with it? Daniel, how about you first? What have you experienced with haunt burnout and preventing that?
Just like I have that tendency to get kind of burnout on once I get into something, I'll really go at it for a while, and I guess I'm prone to the burnout thing. So I like to write. I write. It's not completely non-haunt, I guess, because it's pretty generally graphic, gory type stuff, but. I'll write short stories or work out, go to the gym, stuff like just something that I'll try to get my head away from it and not look at Facebook and all the haunt groups and just decompress for a day or two, I guess.
Cool. What about you, Damien?
Well, I usually, you know, keep going with the haunt stuff. The times, you know, where I don't think of haunted house, sometimes I'll watch TV. For some strange reason, I'll sit there and watch Nickelodeon and watch SpongeBob SquarePants and Sam and Cat and a whole bunch of old, you know, those type of stuff just to get away from any type of horror thing, just to get my mind
far.
Yeah. But, you know, other than that, it's always Halloween for me. I mean,
and what about you, Kyla?
Well, I work 48 hours a week, so when I'm at work, it's not really Halloween time. And if outside of that, I don't, like, always connect with Halloween, I tend to go into my comic-related hobbies. So that's always there as well. And I play a lot of games, like board games and stuff, and have a couple committees that I'm on for that.
Awesome. And Ed, how about insight from you for fighting off the haunt burnout?
Well, you know, I guess the funny thing is I don't technically get burnt out, even though I'm working, you know, sometimes, you know, 120 hours a week or whatever, some ridiculous thing like that. There's so many aspects to what we do. If you feel yourself getting frustrated with one thing, you can just roll it over to another thing. You know, when I was running Spooky World and I was working with Mr. Storm there, we had so many different things to do besides designing and building, and then there's costuming, and then there was the website, and there's music and soundtracks and lighting. There's all different disciplines, and for me, it's like going to another job. And once you switch over to another job, put on a different hat, so to speak, it's kind of like you let the other one go a little bit, and you can, a lot of that tension kind of sits there at the desk with the hat. So you just shift things around. But I like a lot of other things too. There's no end to being busy. But if I want to just veg out and watch, you know, I don't know, some animated feature or something, or it doesn't have to be a horror-related thing or sci-fi or whatever is a big genre of mine. There's things to do to decompress, you know. And then, of course, you know, if you're lucky enough to be done on time where you can actually hang out with other human beings, it's not in the middle of the night, because a lot of times we work until we can't really do much anymore. And then by the time, if you do get a second or third win, it's too late to go anywhere. So, but there's always something to do to shift it. And I guess that's the key to it for me, is shifting it from one mindset to another. So if I am getting frustrated with one aspect of it, I learned from my dad, who was a mechanic his whole life, just put it down and walk on to something else for a few. And then you come back to it, and believe it or not, usually I find there's a whole new perspective, and it's mine. So that works out.
Do you have a favorite part that you like to do?
Who, me?
Like or anybody about it?
For me, I guess the favorite part is thinking of a concept or a scare or a design or a mechanism, and then, you know, making that something physical. You're bringing it out of your head into the real world, and then seeing it actually do what it's supposed to do. So if it's like a pop open staircase, you know, I did for these people in New Hampshire, and you get it, you build it, works great, and you see people go by and they didn't see it coming, and you scare them, you put them on the floor. There's no better feeling than that. I mean, not just the scaring people, put them on the floor, but you know, making something out of your head and then seeing it come to life and work. I think that's magical.
I completely agree. That had I answered first, that probably would have been my answer. Just when you just being able to make what you thought of. I really can't add to what he said.
What about you, Damon?
Okay.
My favorite part is, you know, talking to people like you guys. I mean, I get the honor of, you know, being with the best in our industry all the time, and I'm just a, you know, goofy guy calling people meatbags all day, and you know, and you know, the passion of wanting to go to different levels of haunting, and I've done like little videos on YouTube and trying to make movies and trying to see where I can take the character. I would love to do music. I would like to do a Damien Reaper musical. I bet I can do that. I think that'd be hilarious.
Oh, sweet. I can go see that.
Absolutely. Damien the Reaper Chronicles.
I think Everyone toys with the musical idea. You know, I've wanted a choreographed number with 13 chainsaw-wielding maniacs. I think, Jerry, you need to take the questions now.
You don't want to do the biography of Hank Travis on Broadway?
No, that's Hank Travis in Vegas.
That's a whole nother obsession.
All right, well, I got one more question for you guys. Given your love for everything Halloween and your lifestyle, how does your families and your coworkers, your neighbors, and your friends and everybody react to your obsession / love for Halloween? And let's start with Daniel on this one.
Okay. Actually, really well. All my girlfriend is completely okay with, obviously, the way the house looks, and some of the stuff in here is from her. And my family has always been really cool about it. I remember back years ago, my father got me it was a wig head, just because he thought I would enjoy a severed head. And I think I was in high school. He's like, I found this, I thought you'd like it. And they still, for Christmas last year, I got a perma blood and for my brother. And so all my friends know me, you know. I'm like, we are all on Facebook and Twitter a lot, and I get the Halloween pictures and the horror pictures from people, because I'm that guy for a lot of my friends, so, which probably you guys are too. And
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Kyla, what about you?
Most of my family's pretty accepting, although some just think it's going to be something that I'll grow out of. However, it's been about, I don't know, 16 years, so that's quite a long time for a phase. Otherwise, at work, they kind of just let me do my own thing, as long as it doesn't affect anybody else's desk, but you can definitely see where I sit. It's the only one with cobwebs, so...
And
yeah,
we thought it was just the cleaning crew did a cruddy job.
You're too scared to go clean it.
But yeah, otherwise it's just pretty standard. I don't really have anybody that says much anymore. I've been at work for a while. They all know who I am. I am also that person for Halloween yeah. stuff.
You're,
so
you're that person.
That's kind of how it goes.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed, what about you?
Well, I would say that I've been pretty lucky, and that most people they realize that I'm more on the professional end of it. Certainly, how I deal with it, even if you know it might not be professional. but the biggest problem I think was the hearse. You know, everyone thinks it's cool until it's parked in front of your driveway. So for part-time work and whatever, I was a bartender for many years, and you pull up in that, and even though it holds the entire bar, they want you to park around back, and there's all these different things, and so that's one part of it. And then another would be, you know, likewise, like, you know, kind of my family, you know, for many years, even though they came up and saw Spooky World and were very impressed, was like, you know, when are you going to grow out of this and get a regular job? And I'm like, well, you know, this is my regular job. I was born to do this, and you know, every discipline I've ever learned has been, you know, into this, and that this is who I am, is what I do. And they're well aware of that, and they accept that, and they love that. It's just that they can't see the longevity of it. So it's I've been proving them wrong for almost 30 years, and that's a pretty good hobby to have.
Still a phase.
I was going to say they can't see the longevity. Let's think about this for a second.
Grow out of it.
Right. I
think it's past. Yeah. I think it's past the phase part.
Yeah, right.
Have any of you had the family threaten you with eternal damnation or anything like that?
No, it's the other way around.
Yes, but it's unrelated.
That's another story right there.
You took my Halloween M&Ms. Die.
I'm a Unitarian minister, so that really wouldn't work for me. But anyway.
Okay, well, then just go to heaven and...
Right. I'll talk that way, thanks.
So does that mean that the hearse is always parked at your church?
I don't think it's at a church.
Oh, good.
That would be a different kind of show.
That'd be a different kind of job, then. Okay, Damien, what about you?
Oh yeah. My parents have always been very supportive. My dad used to do the haunted house scene before I was even born, so, but a lot of, you know, a couple family members, or one in particular, really hates, he doesn't understand, you know, who I am. I've always been understanding who he is, but, I've had a friend before, you know, getting on my case about it, about, especially the Damien Reaper thing. But sometimes it would get to me. Sometimes I would go back to my mentality, going, "This is who I am. Take it or leave it. I'm Damien Reaper until, you know, I go to the next world and probably will be dressed up in a costume, wherever that is."
Bela Lugosi was buried in his cape, so yeah. I could see Damien buried in full Reaper outfit. That'd be awesome.
I'll be having it in my will soon.
Nice.
I believe that.
It does look like the clock on the wall is threatening to end this, so let's wrap it up with one last question. And that would be conventions. You know, we're right in the middle of convention season. Do you guys get your fix on going to conventions, horror conventions or haunt conventions like MHC or Transworld? And if so, do you go to, like, paranormal type cons? Do you just go to horror cons? Do you do the sci-fi? Do you cosplay? And if you do, what conventions do you normally try to frequent? How about Kyla? What you got up in Canada?
Well, we do have some haunt conventions. We have the Canadian one, but I missed it for this year, but next year I am going. Usually I end up at the Fan Expo in Toronto, which covers just about everything. It has horror, anime, action, video game, whatever you can name.
I hear that's enormous. Usually,
yes, it is. And it's completely amazingly awesome. That's where I get all my Elvira t-shirts and other haunt-related memorabilia.
I've seen some pretty lineups. Wicked. Those are that has a stellar lineup, at least last year's. I haven't seen this year's website, but wow.
Yeah. It's usually pretty awesome, so that's where I like going. And hopefully I'll get down to the New York Comic Con at some point, since it's only 10 hours away instead of 15.
Only 10. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's 5 hours out.
That's 1 hour in Canada, right?
Yeah, what is that in Canadian hours?
Metric.
Metric.
Damien, I know you go to Midwest every year. Anything else? Scarefest or any of the other ones in the local area? Horror Hound? Or what do you get out to?
I've been to Horror Hound a couple times. Got to meet Sid Haig and Kane Hodder. But mostly I just... this will be my 7th year at Midwest. And I went to Transworld one time. Loved it. I went with the great Telfor Knight. And I will like to go there more, but it's just, money right now. But Midwest is home to me, so.
Nice. Well, so we'll see you there in June, I take it. So.
Yep, I'll be hobbling around.
Awesome. Ed, you got plans on going to Midwest, or do you frequent the others?
Oh, yeah, usually I'm a speaker at a lot of the conventions for the haunt end of it. So I was with Transworld from the beginning of their haunt ones, and this is the first one I've been back to in a long time, and speaking of that one, I'll be doing that at MHC as well, and MHC is, is definitely one of my favorites. It's certainly one of the most fun conventions, for the haunt community. Outside of that, I go to sci-fi ones and some cosplay ones, and Aresia in Boston I used to go to, and Chiller Theater in New Jersey, which is a pretty amazing lineup. A lot of the same people they have up at that Canada show, actually. Some pretty awesome stuff, along with Zachary Lee and those guys. And then yes.
He sounds like Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
Yeah, he does a little bit, yeah. So it's pretty funny. But, all those kind of things, I don't get to go to the West Coast so much because it's just so far away.
Sure.
But, so we'll see how it goes. I can't wait for MAC this year. It ought to be pretty awesome.
Did you make it to either of the last two haunt cons, which were both in Texas?
The funny thing is we were so busy getting ready to open this season that even though it was right down a couple hours away, I couldn't go to it.
Ah, that's a shame.
Hey, Ed, are you going to have your booth this year at MHC?
That's still undetermined because, off the record, there used to be a whole thing where I'd speak and they'd give me a booth and whatever. So now it's a little different thing. So I'm still trying to work that out. I'm probably going to be, for the last couple shows, I've been partnering up with Alan Hopps and his booth. So we're kind of partners, in that, have been for a couple of years. So, but we usually have a separate booth. So this year we may be sharing a booth. So I might be with Still Beast Studios. So Something Wicked Productions will be with Still Beast.
Nice. We'll look for you.
Well, that's what I'm. So you mentioned your Halloween archives of music and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
that's the booth you got to check out if you want to pick up stuff like that. Lord knows I've spent enough money there.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God! Between T-shirts and CDs, somebody shoot me.
I'm with you, brother. Yeah, anything new like that, I get myself. That's my weakness.
And last but certainly not least, how about you, Daniel?
My brother and I try to make it to Spooky Empire every year in October, and then when they do the Mayhem show, in May, we go to that one. We're going to be going this year. Went to the last MegaCon in Orlando, and supposed to be going to the Tampa Bay Comic Con, and been to Tattoo Fest a couple times out in Tampa too. But
Did you make it to Halloween Extreme last year? That was tied in with Mayhem.
Yeah, I was there.
That was a fun show, and they'll be back in 15, so maybe we'll see you there.
Yeah, you guys were there last year, right?
Yes.
But fine. I'm looking forward to next year when they're all back and everything. We were kind of bummed that they could. I understand why they couldn't this year, of course, but
they were a little busy with
other things. Little bigger things
just
to mess with.
Just a wee bit, sure. But anyway, looking at the clock on the wall, we apparently, unfortunately, have to start wrapping this up. So this is the part of the show that we affectionately like to call the plugs. Give you a chance to plug all your various haunt ventures. Damien, let's start with you. What kind of cool stuff have you got going on, either appearances or plug Maul or anything like that?
Yeah, I'll plug Maul. Go on Facebook, type in Maul Traveling, and it should pop up. Or go to the Unknown Scare Actors Facebook page, and you can probably find it there.
This is like Maul, not in like a collection of shops, but Maul like Darth Maul, correct?
Yes, M-A-U-L. I have DamienReaper.com. That's pretty much about it. I mean,
sweet. We'll start looking for you. Ed, how about yourself?
Well, I unfortunately have probably already done a lot of it, but but I'll be down at Dark Hour Haunted House in Plano, Texas, right above Dallas. If you're in the area, you owe it yourself to check it out. It's pretty freaking amazing. Great talented group of people there. Something Wicked Productions, my personal company, will be at MHC along with Stilby Studios, Alan Hopps. And his company be there, and I may have my vampire lounge singer character Buddy Blood may be doing a number on stage there. We'll see how that works out. So that'll be entertaining, and there's always some fun stuff going on with that.
Nice, Daniel.
Yeah,
what you got?
Plug
away.
All right, I co-own a company called Haunt Life with my brother Sean, and it's an apparel, a very, very small currently apparel and merchandise company for fellow haunters and horror and Halloween fans, just as a way to represent, you know, our strange and our weird hobby that we have and weird lifestyle. And also, I make really bloody, gory-looking props if you feel like heading on over to Etsy. I have a shop called Stabbing House. And
nice name.
Thank you.
Nice, right. Do you have a knife collection, Dan?
If by collection you mean just a bunch of them randomly laid around in different places, yes.
Great.
You never know when a burglar is going to pop in.
You know, and you never know. And in a struggle, you could fall here or over here. You want to have a knife just laying around, you know?
I keep my knife collection under my pillow.
there's bears in Florida. You never know.
See?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off here, Dan.
So. And does Haunt Life have a website?
Yeah, it's just www.hauntlife.com, and then we have Facebook, Haunt Life LLC, and we're also on Twitter at Haunt Life LLC also.
Very nice. I have been on that site, and I have seen some pretty cool stuff, so I recommend you go to Haunt Life and check out their cool stuff. And Kyla, what have you got? What's going on that you can promote, plug, or otherwise?
Alas, I am plugless.
You can tell people where they can come to your home haunt.
Say, I'm not buying that.
Modern wireless.
I guess I do participate in the pumpkin raffle for our local SPCA every year. You can always look that up for the Fredericton SPCA on Facebook. All of the pumpkins are always listed there.
Nice. Do you carve, collect, or otherwise participate? How?
Oh, I always carve. Always. At least one.
You should come down to some of the conventions in the States that have these pumpkin carving contests. I think Halloween Extreme last year had one.
Yeah,
that's kind of a neat thing.
Yeah, I love the pumpkin carving. That's probably one of my favorite parts.
Nice. Nice to get back into that real traditional Halloween thing. It's not all about haunted houses. It's still about pumpkins and witches and black cats and things, too. And that's what just makes the Halloween lifestyle so appealing. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't
thank...
Of course. And it's all about the candy. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank our four hosts, including Storm.
My mother still refers to everyone in the industry as my circus people friends. And Ed, you've been to some of the Spooky World Luau parties. When I show her pictures, I can't dispute it.
No,
oh, yeah,
God
my
knows.
My friend spitting fire. Yeah, okay, you're right, Mom.
No, he's catching there. Knives in his teeth. Yes, and don't look at that one, Mom. That's not for parental viewing. It's
no, that's not a thong. It's a yeah.
Or Slim Jim.
The Unknown Scare Actor.
You know, my dad went to MonsterCon with Badger and myself last year. Now when he introduces me to his friends, he says, "This is my son. He scares people for a living."
There you go.
The Huntster medalist, Jerry Vane.
My parents still haven't figured me out, so. Oh.
Have you figured you out? That's
it. Oh, hell no.
Ironically, hell no. This is the point in Jerry's career with the Haunt that he actually wears less spandex than prior jobs.
Yeah, but you keep stealing.
Less saran wrap.
Reynolds wrap, dang it.
Reynolds wrap, sorry. It's all about the sponsorship.
I forgot the endorsement, jeez.
My name is Drew Badger. My name is Drew Badger. Currently, as of last count, I have 261 black t-shirts, and I expect that number to go up this year. Once again, you're listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. Stay tuned for the rest of the show, and remember, support your local haunts, and long live Halloween.
Thanks, guys.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here, live at Haunt X Reno, Nevada, talking to everybody from customers and vendors and all the like. And over in the dark room section up there, they are taken up by one of the coolest things, including clowns, but some great skeletons, a lot of cool props and everything. Skulltronics. I got Jerry, the owner or co-owner. I'm not even sure. Jerry, how you doing?
I am great. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Tell us a little bit about what Skulltronics does. I know you've got some talking skeletons over here, a few animatronic type things, a clown in a box, so to speak. And what kind of products is Skulltronic known for, and what Skulltronics does?
We sell high-end animatronics based around animatronic skulls, different variations of that, the pirate chest, the clown crate, but basically all focused on animatronics.
So these are not just, you know, like, you know, home haunt type stuff. This is stuff you see in the big haunts all around the world and things as well?
Everything from home haunts to haunts in Afghanistan serving the troops to Tower of London, haunt all over the world. But a lot of home haunts, probably half our customers.
Oh, really?
Right.
Very cool. So the price is reasonable within almost anyone's budget, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, if you don't have to pay your mortgage and you don't have a car payment, yeah, you can buy one of our skeletons and skulls.
It's amazing how many haunters will give up that one car payment or that mortgage payment in order to get just that one perfect thing.
Yeah, it's amazing how many dads order the things and have them shipped to their office because they don't want their wives to see them.
I can only imagine. Now, what would a Skulltronic animatronic be doing in Afghanistan?
We had a customer who built a haunted house for the troops.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and a freebie, so it was very nice. Sent two of our skeletons over there.
Always nice to support the troops.
Yeah, it's always nice to get that money also.
Sometimes it's about that as well. So how has Haunt X been treating you? You know, things been selling well?
We had pretty good sales here. I was surprised. It's a really small show because it's first year. The staff and the facilities are amazing here. Garrett has done an amazing job with getting everybody to be friendly and helpful and, you know, really jumping through hoops to get things right. Sure. It's been great.
And the sales have been decent, it sounds like.
Sales for me have been decent. I've heard from a couple of the other vendors that not so great, but
you know, again, first
it's a first year and not a big enough crowd yet, but there will be.
It will be. As long as big companies like Skulltronics keep showing up and putting out their good stuff.
Thank you.
Where are you guys based out of?
We're in Rancho Cordova, which is right outside Sacramento, California.
Sure. I did a workshop at Heartstoppers when they were in Rancho Cordova a few years ago.
Right.
Now, Joel Watson, great haunt owner out there. For people interested in learning more about the custom-built props, skull-related, if you're into skulls, and frankly, who isn't, how can they get a hold of you, maybe see a catalog, pictures, things, and videos, and all that good stuff?
YouTube, Skulltronics. Search for Skulltronics or go to our website, skulltronics.com. Talk to our customers.
Excellent. So Skulltronics.com for everything skull-related, animatronics-wise. Jerry, a pleasure having you here at Haunt X Reno, Nevada. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out.
Twisted Graves. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. On the Big Scary Show.
Your window is nagging at me. It's never happy. The writing words don't mean a thing to me. I wish my
my girlfriend was a zombie.
Feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out The Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist is ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out The Psychosurgical Coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and The Insane Ensemble, committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's VONCHARON, Von Caron Productions.
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here at Haunt X Reno, Nevada. It is a beautiful, beautiful city in a beautiful, beautiful area of the country. And it snowed last night. So anyway, we won't talk about snow in Mother's Day weekend or anything like that. We're talking haunts, haunt products, and all sorts of cool stuff. And if you remember the second anniversary show, we had a Mr. Cliff Allen from Los Angeles, California, doing our West Coast Roundtable, talking about a company that he was working for called Necrotic Creations. I happen to have one of the owners, Mr. Robert Santos, who incidentally I believe was our 2,200 like on Facebook, from Necrotic Creations. Robert, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Tell us in a nutshell basically what Necrotic Creations is about. You've got some really cool, shall we say, accessories and adornments and things for your haunted attraction, it looks like.
That's right. We try to strive for the minute details that go into the haunted house so that we know that they can build fireplaces, and we know they can build doorways, and some of the details get a little bit missed, so we provide an easy way for them to provide a small little accent or detail to their haunt to make it a little bit more spooky.
And you know, haunters in general, when we go through haunted houses, we do tours and conventions and things like that, we're always looking at the set designs. We're always looking for that minute spec. Wow, that's a cool doorknob. Wow, that's a cool light switch or something. And you've got some really cool stuff there.
Thank you. Yeah, some of the stuff is really small, and it would be almost easy to miss, but the details really do make the haunt. And then we have some larger pieces, pieces that would go on like columns or entryways to mausoleums. So we kind of do cater to the big and small details, but it's all directed to help out the haunter to make their scene what they envision it themselves.
Is it custom work? Is it something that you create and then run off a whole batch of them to sell? Or how does that whole process work?
Most of our products are based off of ideas that we've come up with. Stacy Fitz, who's the sculptor for the majority of the stuff, she has a great talent for taking things that maybe I envision and turning them into reality, and those products have done really well. But we also do a lot of custom work, so we have a customer that will come in and say, hey, I need this for this particular situation, and we'll come in and design it for them. We'll take them from the initial concepts to some sketches, all the way up to full-on production. And then usually we'll work out something to where we'll retain the final rights to the piece and sell it on our own. And that way it keeps their costs down, and we can benefit out of that.
Excellent. That's a great concept there, keeping the rights to, because if somebody goes there and says, that's awesome, where can I get one of those? Well, now you know.
Sure. And, of course, that if that's not an option for them, we do custom proprietary stuff. So if they want it only for them, it will be only for them.
That's cool as well. For people wanting more information about Necrotic Creations out of California, if I believe, I assume you ship everywhere and things like that. Okay, if they want to see a catalog, samples of the work, information on custom work or non-custom work, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, they can definitely get a hold of us via the website. It's www.necroticcreations.com. Or simply they can go on the website and they could call me. I try to answer everything that I get within reason. If I'm mixing resins or something, of course, leave a message and I will definitely get back to you.
Excellent. Robert, a pleasure having you here at Haunt X Necrotic Creations. You know, the only thing that separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom is our ability to accessorize, as I always say, and you've got some great stuff. I really like the steampunk doorknob over there. I like some of the skull work. It's fantastic stuff. NecroticCreations.com. My name is Drew Badger here at Haunt X Reno, Nevada, and we are out.
Greetings, Haunters. Are you ready to face your fears? Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Well, for the last couple of Face Your Fears, we've been talking about people going to haunted attractions and why they go and what scares them. Last week, we covered a few subjects, but you know what? The subjects of this are always changing because different things scare different people. You know, some people go purely for the fun of seeing someone else get scared. But it really amuses me when I see these big tough guys with sticking their little girls in front of them like a meat shield. I mean, what do they hope to accomplish by that? Do they hope to be the man of their dreams by putting them in harm's way? It amuses me when I see people do this. And then you've got the other ones that just, you know, they're scared. But they just stand there, stock still. Or they'll walk, they won't look at you, but you know they're terrified of you. And then, you've got the ones that think that they are just the bomb. Oh, I'm so tough. I can handle this. And it's not just the guys. I've seen girls do it too. You know, and what really gets me is they sit there and, oh, you can't scare me. I'm tough. And I worked two rooms last year and at Dent. And it's like, okay. You know, I just let it go. Come into the next room, and without fail, they were losing it. They were on the ground. They were running away, sticking their girlfriends in front of them. You know, where's the big, tough bravado now? I don't get it. I mean, I guess I should by now. I've been doing this long enough, but really, these guys come to act tough and then turn into complete wimps. So who gets the last laugh on that? We do. And we, as haunters, do nothing but scare people or entertain. So, one way or another, they got their money's worth. And if you can scare them, go for it. Anyway, haunters, that's it for this time. Next time around, I'll come up with more on haunting and what scares you. So, until next time.
Always remember one thing, haunters. Everyone. Is afraid of something.
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here live at Haunt X in beautiful Reno, Nevada. It's winding down. It's Sunday afternoon. Some vendors are breaking down. The crowds are starting to thin. A few things are still being purchased and going-ons and stuff like that. However, as we normally do when we go to conventions, we always try to find one of the owners and organizers, and we have this time Mr. Stephen Kohlberg. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Oh, you look a little peaked.
I'm doing okay.
thoughts on Haunt X 2014, back from the dead, so to speak, and how did it go?
Went really, really well. I mean, first year show, tons of little craziness, but the vendors turned out. We had a decent turnout. We've been real, real happy with the way the city of Reno has worked with us and the way the locals have come out to support the show. It's been a really good show. Our educational lineup was received really, really well.
I heard that actor training seminar was really awful. That was some hack trying to teach it. But other than that, I heard everything else was great.
Actually, the feedback on the actor training class was wonderful, Mr. Drew Badger, haunting consultant.
Pshaw, please.
But, you know, we were really pleased. We kind of took a little bit of a gamble, and we went kind of geeky in a lot of the education. I mean, who else has had a three-part programming series in a haunt convention? And they were really well attended. So
excellent.
We're really, really pleased.
So I'm assuming based on the fact that there were no major catastrophes, HauntX will be back in 2015?
Oh, absolutely. I've got contract with the hotel here at Circus Circus on my desk.
Excellent. Anything you'd like to tell all the people out there about attending 2015? What can we expect? You already have new plans in the works, so I assume there'll be the usual parties and social events and things. Any possible touring of anything or any kind of new things that you wanted to do this year that you were not able to that you're going to try to do for next year?
Well, I think the show, we had some hits and some misses. All shows do. The Virginia City tour was good. I think we're going to split up the true paranormal enthusiasts from the I want to pub crawl in saloons crowd. That wasn't a real good overlap. By and large, though, the show went really, really well. We're looking more to knock the rough edges off the show for next year and to grow the base. I mean, the thing I really want to do is convince folks that this isn't just a local show. I think what we managed to do was pull off in year one, which what most shows can't do until year five.
And I did notice there were an awful lot of people from California here, not just, you know, Northern California, but there were an awful lot of people from Southern California. So you were drawing. I heard people saying, we drove 6 hours, we drove 8 hours, and things like that.
Right. So. Yeah, in fact, our very first attendee who signed up was from Colorado. So really, I was really quite pleased, we managed to pull from almost all the western states, at least a few folks.
And the experiment of having it on Mother's Day weekend, it actually seemed that there was more buying going on Sunday rather than Saturday. And at least, you know, I know a couple of vendors that sold out of their product on Sunday, which is, you know, not atypical, but it was kind of interesting. There were a lot more purchases, it seemed.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. I think it was more a case of the local advertising kicked in. And, you know, kind of the same thing that hurt us early on, helped us on the back end. Nobody travels on Mother's Day. So all the locals were home and looking for something to do while the apple pie cooked.
There you go. So once again, congratulations, Mr. Kohlberg. Stephen Kohlberg here with HauntX. Looking forward to checking it out again in 2015. HauntX.com, I assume. Sometime in the next few days, few weeks, we'll start seeing a little bit of information, maybe a call for vendors and things.
Absolutely.
For next year. So, once again, Drew Badger here, hoping to come back to the biggest little city in the world, Reno, Nevada, and we are out. Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.HauntersDigest.com today.
Calabrese, the dead don't rise on the Big Scary Show.
mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank The Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, UnknownScareActor.com. The haunt rocker Jerry Vane. Be sure to pick up his latest CD, Virus 308, on jerryvane.com. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more, rabbitbadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com. And keep sending in those news items, news@bigscaryshow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.